We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Nice yawn there from Phil in the front. Right, I want you to do something for me first before we kick off. Can I ask you to do something for me? Yes. Please stand. Need to shake the cobwebs off. Yeah, we did aerobics in the first service. We're not going to do that. No, we didn't. I'm joking. Can you say after me, please? I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Okay. Now let's say it again with a bit of belief behind it. Hallelujah. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can sit down now. Your spiritual juices are flowing. Hallelujah. I'm speaking on, still on the season of Together Together. And the title for my message this morning is, Are We Ready? Where's a yes already? That's awesome. Are we ready? Now, the fact that you're here this morning tells me four things. One is that you are here to maintain your focus on your walk with God. Two, you're here to stay in fellowship with the people of God. Three, you're here to strengthen your faith through your knowledge of God. And four, you're here to be a devoted follower of the plans and purposes of God. How many of those are true is another question, but I am presuming that that is why you're here, because that's the only reasons why I'm turning up. That's it. I'm not being offensive now, but those are my reasons for turning up for church. Isaiah 54:1-3. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. This was not the message that I was going to bring today, but I was praying this week, and the Lord asked me to read Isaiah 54, and as I read it, this is what leapt out to me, and I believe it is a word for now. It is a word for the season we're in. I believe it's got a prophetic edge to it. But I also believe it's come to exhort us as the people of God. And I want us to think, and I said this in the first service, I'll say it in the third as well. I am going to bring a bit of a demarcation into this word between Newport Christian Fellowship and Liberty Church. For one reason only, because I want us to think as members of those fellowships, where we are and what's going on in our hearts, as a member of the Newport Christian Fellowship or as Liberty Church. Now, hear my heart here. As far as I'm concerned, we're all the body of Christ. But for the purpose of this word, I need us to sit in those places and ask the right questions. Now, the context for this passage of Scripture was Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel who were going to be taken into captivity in the future. They were going to be. And he was saying that when you get taken into captivity, something's going to take place. You are now a nation of maybe a couple of a million, but when you go into captivity and you come back out, there's only going to be about 42,000 of you left. You're going to go through what he calls desolation, barrenness, decimation. And he was speaking over Israel this prophetic word and giving them something to hang on to in it. He's actually telling Israel to sing. Sing. And I'm not talking about COVID restrictions here, all right? I'm not going down that political road. It's not to do with that. He is speaking to the nation of Israel and saying, sing. Sing in your barrenness. Sing in your desolation. Sing in your decimation. Because when we're barren or unfruitful, it means that we have lost something. We're unable to produce. And as both of us now, the NCF and Liberty Church, have been walking through a season that from a world perspective tells us that the church has been decimated. That the church is in a desolate place and has become barren. Because the most of the churches that we know of are struggling to get between 15 and 20% of their congregation in church. People are drifting away. So on the outside, it would be apparent that the church has been taken captive to fear and anxiety and other issues and is being decimated. And God is saying, I want you to sing. Sing. We could say that the whole of the nation, the church, has become unfruitful, is in a state of barrenness. And as individual believers as well, we may be feeling that we are in a desolate place, that we are unfruitful. Things are just not going the way I wanted them to go. I'm not doing the things I want to do, and I feel a bit barren. And I want to talk about 4 points here regarding this word. And the first one, is this always happens to me, and I'm going to ask Gaz to come home with me afterwards to check my bedroom for cameras and hidden mics. Because Kobe just preached my message, the first point, completely. You haven't got nothing in my room, have you? Okay. Cool. You sure? I've been having a chat with Dina now. Are we seeing what God sees? It's exactly what Kobe just said. Are we seeing what God sees? See, God was saying, I want you to sing in your barrenness. I want you to sing in your desolation. Why would he say that? Because God speaks of things that are not as though they are. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, and break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. This seems like a contradiction here. But God wants his people to sing, cry aloud, rejoice in God. Are we seeing what God sees? Or are we seeing what is happening in our world? Are our eyes fixed on the barrenness and the desolation and the decimation of things? Or are our eyes fixed on things above? Do we see what God sees? Do I see barrenness or new birth? Do I see decimation or multiplication? And I want to challenge every one of us, including myself, as to where our eyes are fixed. Are we looking from heaven's perspective or from the earth perspective? I want us to ask ourselves a question. Or actually, I want us to do something. I want us to listen to the words that come out of our mouths so we can discover the seeds that have been sown in our hearts. Because out of our hearts, the mouth speaks. And we will recognize, if we actually do that as a discipline, we will discover where the enemy has sown seeds of fear and anxiety and hopelessness and a negative aspect to everything. We will see that and we will be able to deal with it. But if we don't listen to what we're saying, we won't know what those seeds are. In fact, it'll take somebody else to point it out to us. I'd rather find it out for myself and have somebody else tell me, Phil, what are you talking about? Why do you talk like that? Let me give you a little picture here. God says, sing, O barren, you who have not born. For more are the children of the desolate than of the married woman. He was talking about increase. NCF, Newport Christian Fellowship. The Lord is adding to you a people who were not, you were not expectant for. The Lord is adding to you a people that you didn't labor for. The Lord is adding to you Liberty Church. Liberty Church. The Lord is adding to you a people that you did not work for, a people that you never gave birth to or labored for. NCF. And in this so-called desolation and barrenness and everything that's going on in the world and has been hitting the church, we as a group of believers have gone against all the odds and we have actually multiplied and not decreased. Think about it. God has added to us something that we didn't do anything to instigate. It was inspired and set into motion by God himself. And we are going against everything that the world says is taking place. We are one of the only fellowships around you, one of the few maybe, in the whole of Wales that has actually grown through COVID. Am I the only one that thinks like Arawa? We have grown. We have been added to. Now, the big question to every one of us in this situation is, are we singing about it or are we sighing about it? What's our attitude to this whole thing? Are we singing or are we sighing? Are we so wrapped up in our own views and our own opinions about what is happening that we are failing to see the actual blessing and the grace of God that is taking place right now? This is a blessing. It is God prospering. It is God building. But are we singing or are we sighing? And it all depends on, are we seeing what God is seeing? Next, are we expectant? In verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. So in amongst this so-called desolation and barrenness, God is telling his people, enlarge the place of your tent. I want you to be expectant for the growth. Now, don't think this is necessarily just in numerical terms, in numbers of people, but there's a growth expectancy in the people of God. Enlarge the place of your tent. There are God's promises that we need to lay a hold of during our this season right now. One of them is in Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, to the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end. Do you know when God says something, he does it? He said that 750 years before Christ was even born. So from that moment on, he was saying, to the increase of your government and your peace, there will be no end. It will not cease. It will not stop. It will continue to take place. The increase of his government, his kingdom in our hearts and lives, the increase of his peace in our lives, it is meant to continually grow because God has put that into place. And as members of his church, we've been given these promises to hold on to during a season that would apparently look like it's being decimated and desolate. Are we seeing what God sees? Are we living in expectancy for tomorrow? You said earlier, Kobe, yesterday was a blessed day. Today is even more blessed. Tomorrow, even more blessed again. Because to the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Jesus also said, and has Jesus ever lied? No. Has he ever said anything that he didn't really mean? No. I will build my church. I will build my church. So whoever you are, if you're in the body of Christ, you are the temple of the living God. You are the church, the dwelling place of the Most High. And if Jesus said, I'm going to build it, guess what he's going to do? He's going to build it. So however you're feeling, if it's anything negative or opposed to that very thought and promise, it's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy, and he wants you to believe it so that that work will be hindered. I hope you're hearing this. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to complete it. These are promises put in place for times like this. Are we expectant to grow? Are we going to enlarge the place of our tent? That word enlarge there means to broaden and make room. And the place actually means a standing plot, figuratively, the condition of my body and my mind. Enlarge the place of your body and your mind. I'm not talking about eat more. I'm on about looking after ourselves physically, yes, but what state is our mind in? How do we think? God says, get ready, be expectant, think bigger, and think better. Enlarge the place of your tent. And we need to be honest with ourselves where we are in our level of belief and expectation in our walk with God. Be honest. Tell the Lord, Lord, do you know what? I'm not walking in this expectancy. I'm not actually focusing on the fact that you want to build me. You want to increase in my life. You want to grow in my life. I'm actually feeling as though I'm being squashed. But the promise still stands. I will build you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Isaiah 9, verse 7 goes on to say that God, he said, I will order it and I will establish it. And that term there means to, bear with me a second. It means to, he will erect it, he will support it, and he will strengthen it. That's his promise. So are we seeing what God sees? Are we expectant? Thirdly, are we prepared? Are we prepared to have our hearts and our vision and our gifting enlarged? Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. God is asking us to make ourselves available to be stretched. Does anybody like being stretched? No? I don't like being stretched. Stretching tends to be painful. But the great thing is here, well, I think it's great, you might not think so, is that God is not asking us to stretch ourselves. The word actually says, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Let them stretch them out. Who's the them? The ones I'm adding to you. The ones I'm bringing into your life. Stretching can happen in two ways. It can come through a mentor, or it can come through a menace. A mentor or a menace. Either way, God says, I will build you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But are we prepared to allow ourselves to be stretched by the people who are added to us in our life? I will grow when you stretch me. You will grow when I stretch you. Your neighbor will grow when you stretch them. And you will grow when your neighbor stretches you. Stretching is not fun. In fact, I would say, and this is great here, I think, if I ask the question, when you think about somebody being a menace in your life and stretching you, or even a mentor and stretching you, does that make us feel a little bit shaky and quivery? And for me personally, yes, it's a bit of a challenge. And I love the way that the Word of God shows things. It says, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And the curtains there means something to that hangs with a slight quiver and a slight shake. God says it's not going to be pleasant, might not be painless, but it's necessary for us to grow in the Spirit, both for ourselves and the people that we work with. We need to stretch. We need to embrace what is being added to us in our life. Our attitude towards NCF or Liberty, depending on which one you're in, will determine how you will stretch and how will you grow and how you will enlarge. If your attitude is one of singing, then praise God. If it's sighing, there's a stretching coming. And I finish up on this. We've got 5 minutes, so if somebody would like to notify Children's Church that we have 5 minutes left, that'll be fantastic. On the ball, Phil. Hallelujah. Counting the cost. Jesus said in Luke 14, 28 to 30, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? You know, if we're honest and we're saying, yes, Lord, yeah, I want to be in, Lord. I want to be in this. Have we counted the cost? Or are they going to mock us when we say we haven't got enough for what it takes? Are we counting the cost? Are we prepared to pay the price for this growth that God wants to bring into our lives? Fourthly, are we all in? And I'm finishing on this. Are we all in? Verse 2 at the end of it says, do not spare, but lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not spare. Do not spare. The word spare there means to refrain, which means to stop oneself from doing something. He's saying, don't stop yourself from doing something. Be all in. It also means to restrain, which means to prevent someone else from doing something. He says, don't do that. Let them be all in. And it also means to preserve, which means to maintain its original existing state. How many churches die because they are not prepared to change? Do not try to preserve an original existing state, but change. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Why? Verse 3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. If we want to see growth, if we want to see God do what he wants to do, we need to get out of the way of what he wants to do, embrace the things that he wants to do. Make room. See what God can see. Expect our vision and our purpose to start to grow and enlarge. Be prepared to count the cost and stretch. Let somebody else stretch us. And don't hold back yourself. Don't hold anyone else back because of your views and opinions. And don't try to hold on to things that need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I pray with us just before Kobe comes up to give some announcements? Father, I'm so aware of this word. I'm aware of its challenge. I'm aware of its weight. And Father, we just want to say to you, we want to be those people that you have called us to be. We don't want, Lord, we don't want to be those people that spare, that hold back. We want to be people that will go with you, walk with you, and see what you want to do. Lord, do it through us. Let us be your servants. Let us be your helpers. Let us be your hands and your feet. Help us to be the people you've called us to be in a season where this world seems desolate and barren, but we are prospering because of you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody says, amen. Kobe.